Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
God always has a message for us. Something He wants us to learn. This morning, as we look at our text, we realize the apostle wanted these believers in Rome to realize how blessed they were. And he goes to great lengths to show them in this chapter, and I didn't read the whole thing on purpose because I don't know how far I'm going to get. But I'll get how far God wants me to get. So just bear with me. In the past, sometimes I preached one verse. Sometimes a whole chapter. However the Spirit leads, I want Him to lead. And I want you to delight today in this chapter, because it describes where we are as believers in Christ and what we ought to be thankful for. We need to be thankful that God reached down into our life, that He awakened us to the fact that we needed a Savior. Without Him, we had no real hope for the future. Oh, people hope for all kinds of things, don't they? Some people hope they'll win the lottery and imagine that will cure all the problems they have. Guess what? Most of the lottery winners have it all spent in less than 10 years. They can earn, or not earn, but get millions and blow it because they don't know what to do with it. I assure you, I will not be a millionaire. It's hard to become a millionaire by being a pastor in Lewis, Kansas. It's real hard. You can't depend on that as your sole source of income and get there. And furthermore, let me say this. You cannot become one other than by wrongdoing. Somewhere, somehow, I could. To have millions and be honest with God would be really hard. You know who? Let me share this. I don't preach on money very often, but you realize that people that even today earn less than $100,000, percentage-wise, give far more than those who earn millions a year. You realize that? I wonder who they're trusting in. The almighty dollar, right? And that's where most of America is today. And they wonder why their lives are not blessed. Oh, they may gain lots for a little while, but in the end of the race is where it counts. That is the race of life. And it will not matter one iota how much you have financially when you die. What will matter is what you've done for Christ prior to death. Have you accepted Him as Savior? That's the first question. Many, the Lord will say to them, because there is a judgment day. Many, the Lord will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Oh, what a sad commentary on a life. And I realize I'm preaching to the crowd this morning. God's crowd. And you probably don't need to hear some of this. But there's some reason that God has placed some of these things on my heart. It's not that the church needs money. It's not that God needs money. But people, God needs our heart. God had a hard question for Israel through Malachi. The question was this: will a man rob God? You know, it's pretty hard to rob God. But some people do. The answer given to Malachi is this. He says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Sadly, I probably don't preach on this subject often enough. But some of you have still learned the lesson already. So that's why I don't preach on it. I know most of you have come to know that lesson. You know that a tithe is a tenth. Tenth of the increase. I've thought about that a lot. And I know that God doesn't ask a tenth of the gross. And what I'm talking about is this. Some have lots of dollars invested somewhere. And God certainly won't ask 10% of that I already have every year if it doesn't make at least 10%, right? He won't ask of you something that you don't have. Some people are on the other end. They don't have much and they're just barely getting by. You know what I'm talking about? And they say, God, I intend to tithe. I intend to give a tenth of everything God blesses me with. Mathematically, sometimes it just doesn't work out. You know, you say, get your budget. Okay? Figure out your expenditures, figure out your income, and wow, sometimes it just doesn't work. I'm going to tell one on the board this morning. When she went away to school, the college we went to down in Texas, she purposed in her heart she would continue to give just like she did when she had her job. Well, then we went to school from 7 to noon. She worked in the afternoon. We weren't married. She was single. And I think she made $235 on her job that she had right before she went to school. Now, that's not a lot of money, right? Even if you're working 8 or 10 hours a day, which she did. But she figured, I'm going to continue to tithe, give the same amount I did when I was working, and I'm only working about 4 hours now. Now, I thought she was a better math student than that. It doesn't calculate. It doesn't compute. You can't do it. But God did it. God did it because He supplied the need other ways. Well, there was a certain guy, I guess, who took that out to supper a lot. I didn't mind. I still had money coming from the farm. But she purposed, and God supplied. And sometimes it was unusual ways. It wasn't that we just bought supper for her. It was that God directed some other people to send her money. Money she didn't know nothing about. Kind of like when the boys were in school. We're going to go back to school, and I resigned that first church. And things were pretty tight. And we did not have money enough to get them in school the week before school was going to start. But God made it in the heart of someone in that church to give a gift. I needed $20 for each of the boys. $20 apiece. Guess what was on that envelope? In that envelope, that morning after church, sitting right there on the console in the car, little car I had, $40. Exactly what I needed the next day. I said all that to say this. Sometimes we wonder whether God's going to come through. But I assure you, He does. It might be at the 12th hour. You never know. But God comes through. God works through people many times to accomplish His purposes. And I pray that God has worked through me in the time since. I'll tell you what, God has taken me on quite a journey. After I graduated from junior college, I decided I'm not going to go up to K-State and spend all that money to get a degree in agriculture. I'll learn from Dad and Grandpa. They've been at it a long time before all those professors up there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they've probably forgotten more than they know. And that's what I did. And I farmed. Until God said, enough farming. There's a bigger harvest coming. Mm-hmm. There's more important things eternally for you to do than raising wheat and soybeans and milo and alfalfa and cattle and hogs. We did it all. People are more important. I argued with God. I argued with God. I said, I was like Moses. I said, God, I cannot speak. That's not me. You know how I am. God said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I had to learn that. I had to learn to trust God. And you know what? All of us have to learn that lesson. God has a road for us all to travel. He has a work for all of us to do. He doesn't want any of us to just sit in the pew. He's got a work for us to do. The first work is learning what God has done for us. And that lesson is We are now justified by faith. It's hard to wrap your hands around faith. But we can see faith in action. We can see how it walks. We can see how it talks. But you know what? Like the old professor says, your walk talks, and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. See, people gotta see a sermon more than they hear about it. How do you live? What do you do? We start by praising the Lord. That's what Paul is trying to get the believers to get onto and hang on to. And so he starts this chapter with one of those words that ties things together. The professor also said this: when you study in your Bible and you find a wherefore or a therefore, you look and see what it's there for. What is this therefore for? It's to tie what he's already said with that which he's going to say. And what he's already said is this: we're all sinners. We all need God's grace. We can't get out of this mess by ourselves. You ever been one of them? You know, when you got yourself in so deep, you couldn't get out. It's kind of like, who was it? Oh, it was Lori. She went down to cash a check. Jess can appreciate this. She went down to cash her check at the bank. And Leland Higby was in there. And they asked him, are you getting along fine in all this wet weather? He said, yeah, I've got a track. A John Deere track. You know what he means? Jess knows. You got to drive one of them, didn't you? Not a John Deere, but a Claus. Okay? Tracks up front. They can get in deeper. But I guarantee you, if you get in the right spot, you can stick a track as well. And if you stick a track, you're going to have a half mile of cable to get him out. Because he'll be down in there so deep, even a track can't get out. Tracks. Out yay wide. Well, some of them are a lot wider than that. Yeah, one of them big combines. I think they're about that wide, probably. And if you get her stuck, man, you got a mess you can't even get close to. I'm glad I'm in foreign country, because some of you understand what I'm talking about. If I talked to the city folks like that, they would have no clue what I'm talking about, right? But Leland said, I've got a track. I'm important. No, you're not important in the scheme of things. In the whole scheme of things, none of us are that important. And the amazing thing is God still cared enough about us that he sent his son to pay the penalty we couldn't pay. And because Christ did that, our sins are now washed away. We're cleansed by the blood of Christ. And someone once said, it's as if we had not sinned. The problem is we have sinned. We got in too deep. We couldn't back out. No matter how hard we struggled, we could not get back out of the mess we got ourselves into. No way, no how. But the good news is Jesus got us out. He pulled us out. He reached down and made the difference in our lives. And because he pulled us out, we now stand justified by God. In God's sight, we're all right now. Because it's no longer us. It's Christ in us. And that gives us a hope of glory. Yesterday, I could declare to that group of people gathered there that I know Diana's in heaven with the Lord. And that's glory for me. And when we stood by the graveside, I declared the words of the Apostle Paul, the words which assure us that those of us who know him are going to be with him one day. In fact, he's coming again. Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ will rise first. The reason they can die first is because they're ahead of us. The absent from the body, that is when we die, our spirit goes to be with Christ. But when Christ returns in the air as he's promised, we'll meet him in the air. That's the good news. And he's going to give us in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, a new body. This old body won't do to enter heaven. We're going to have a new glorified body, the scripture says. Changed completely so that we can walk right in. Aren't you glad that Jesus has come in your heart? We can look up and smile even in the worst of days that we have because we know what the future holds. And we know who holds tomorrow. My Savior knows. My Savior cares. My Savior leads me. How about you? I pray that we will delight in the fact that we stand just before God today, not because of our goodness, but the grace and mercy and goodness of God. His Son paid the price. And God wrote, paid in full. You know, it's good when you have a note come due. And they write, paid in full. What does the scripture say? The borrower is servant to the lender. We were all slaves to sin. Now we serve the risen Savior. What a difference God has made in our lives. Today is the day to rejoice in the Lord. To be thankful for his goodness and grace to us each day. We're justified before God. One day we'll be in his presence. And those many others who have gone on before us. Praise the Lord. Look up, not down. Look up, not down. That'll be what believers do every day. Praise the Lord for His guidance, care, and provision along life's way. Without that, we'd be undone. But praise God, we have a sure hope in heaven. I'm glad I'm not trusting in winning the lottery. How about you? I go with the sure thing. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. I didn't get very far today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness, your truth. Thank you that we now stand justified in Christ before you. Lord, help us to live as believers, to serve you with a true heart, to honor you with our lives, and all that you bless us with. Help us to remember to give you the praise and glory every day. And make us the people you want us to be. We ask and pray in Jesus' name.